Hello, fellow Americans. Voice of Reason coming at you from Jacksonville, Florida. And if you scare easily, or if you get nightmares, this may not be the post for you, even though every bit of it is true. As the post, the title implies, as well as the post that it'll be contained within, topic here is the United States government conducting secret tests on U.S. citizens using electronic warfare. And this is not the first time I've covered this subject, so I was able to dig up a lot of it. But what brought it to the forefront of my mind was one night earlier this week, or maybe it was Friday, last couple days, I was listening to Coast AM as I was going to bed. And there was a gentleman who I thought was doing something extraordinary. Former Navy officer named David Bogus. I believe that's how he says his name. He spent 9 years in the Navy, and he was stationed in their electronic warfare and nuclear billets. I'm not sure if I said that right. Department. And during his time there, he had firsthand experience with our government and our electronic warfare weapons, for lack of any better way to put it. And there have been people for some time now, and what's really interesting about this is the gentleman from Baton Rouge who shot all those police officers. He was what he called a targeted individual. And as such, you know, he openly professed it. You know, he went to doctors. He would tell anybody who would listen that he was being targeted by electronic warfare. Now, it's very easy most of the time for us to just label these people as kooks. And some of the doctors in this particular post, you know, recognize that. Incidentally, one of the articles that I'm going to cite to in this post that this video will be in, which will be linked in the notes section of the YouTube, one of the articles has got more footnotes than pages of most articles people read. So read to your heart's content. And this is all, you know, bona fide information. So anyway, this particular former Navy officer, because he has either spoken to or has a sincere belief that, you know, 6 or 7 people that he's come in contact with or heard stories of, this guy in Baton Rouge being one of them, he's doing a cross-country awareness trip. He's walking from Maryland to California. He's currently in St. Louis. That's why he called into Coast to Coast, home of George Norrie, and I just let him know how it was going. And basically, you know, I include the, it's just a quick 5-minute, you know, hey, how's the trip going kind of thing. So he talks a little bit about what he's doing, why he's out there, what experiences he's seen in the military that allow him to know that this technology is very real and very scary and doing things to our citizens. So that's the first interview that you'll find inside the post. At the very end of the post, what you'll find will be 2 videos of this particular former Navy officer explaining his knowledge of electronic warfare weapons. And you'll find that it virtually coincides identically with the research that I was able to come up with. So always a good sign when somebody's got firsthand knowledge. So to begin with, you know, what got me into looking at all this stuff was last February, obviously pre-Baton Rouge. And there were stories popping up all over the country of these strange cell phone looking towers popping up all over the place. I shouldn't say all over the place, roughly spaced apart every 200 miles. And what was so interesting about them was, according to those that were in the know, myself certainly not being one of them, and I will include links to many of these stories that include this incredibly technical knowledge for those that will understand it, is that these particular cell phone towers were not equipped to do any type of telecommunication service. And the primary reason for that was, these were called Gwen towers. And SONAR, that stands for Ground Wave Energy Network Transmitters. And they're strategically placed every 200 miles apart across the United States in order to allow for, I'm going to quote this, specific frequencies to be tailored to the geographic field strength in each area, allowing the magnetic field to be altered. Altered by what? We're soon going to learn. So these things start popping up everywhere, and it was very hard to get up-to-date information that was not only detailed, but was remotely understandable. And I was able to find one person who, in addition to within the post titled Why Are Weaponized Cell Phone Towers Popping Up Everywhere, you'll get all the technical information if that's what your heart desires. Me, I stick to the video because they explain what's going on in very layman's terms and why these towers are not being used for cell devices, even though it certainly does look like they are. They're being masked. So to get to the heart of why this Navy officer is doing this cross-country tour, trying to bring awareness to these individuals who are targeted, is because they're being tortured, plain and simple. I mean, they've not given authorization to be in any experiments. And as I'll explain in a few moments, what these devices do, I mean, they torture the crap out of you, both psychologically and physically. So it's, apparently it's just god-awful. So the first thing I take you to in my post is a way to get an understanding of where all this technology, where these ideas come from. And they come from none other than Nazi Germany. And for anyone who's not familiar with Operation Paperclip, it was, in essence, at the end of World War II, there were, you know, thousands and thousands of Nazi war scientists that should have been tried for war crimes, probably executed. But they were given new identities and placed in some of the highest levels within our government. This is going back 70 years ago. So, you know, anybody wants to try to figure out why our government's so screwed up when you consider the massive influx of Nazis that we brought in and put it to some of the highest levels, need I say more? Father of rocketry, you know, what's his name? I'm totally losing it. The guy that developed the Saturn V, Von Braun. Straight up Nazi, used to do crazy rituals out on the launch pad, satanic and all this. I mean, the things that we did to get ahead technologically in the Cold War. So there's basically a video that kind of explains Operation Paperclip in much more couth than I just did. But, you know, essentially what we did without the knowledge of the public, I might add, is, you know, we brought these scientists in, we gave them aliases, we put them to work. And some of them were experts at different things. Some being torturing the living crap out of people with mind control. And that was the birth of what is arguably the most well-known of the Operation Paperclip experiments. And that's MKUltra, mind control. Our government has been obsessed with mind control since the 40s or the 50s. Actually, before that, but I won't get into that in this particular post. And the reason most people would be familiar with MKUltra is because of its references in multiple pop culture, whether it's the X-Files, movies, all kinds of TV shows. You hear lots of mentions of MKUltra. That was one of the things that Mel Gibson's character was victim of in movie Conspiracy Theory, for those that are wondering. Anyway, so there's also a video that I include just to put in perspective how horrific MKUltra was. They put these, again, these were our soldiers that were experimented on without their knowledge. These people were given hallucinogens. They were the worst types of experiments you could possibly do on human beings we were doing to our own soldiers. And there's a video that kind of covers some of that just to kind of really help you to understand where this sick technology comes from. MKUltra really didn't become public until the 70s. It had been around since, I want to say it was the late 50s, maybe the early 60s. But the point is, it became public in the 70s. That was when ultimately everything had to be destroyed. There are allegedly no records of it because of the seriousness of the crimes committed by those within the intelligence agency. So everything had to be completely destroyed. It's well known that some of the accomplishments, shall we say, of the MKUltra program were, and I'm quoting, microwave weapons and remote influence of the human central nervous system are the crown jewels of the intelligence community as a result of MKUltra. Mind control techniques and related technology are used and can be used to make human beings vulnerable to manipulation and be used to unknowingly have them partake in operations. Sounds like Manchurian Candidate. And they dare go on to say, you know, but like any other type of weapon system, there always needs to be some type of a human subject involved. Well, you know, it would have been nice if they would have asked some of them. But they didn't. And, you know, allegedly, MKUltra was destroyed, but conspiracy theorists would tell you, myself included, that it has gone on for many, many years under many, many different names within Black Ops, some of which we're going to talk about here in just a second. So part of how they're doing all this, as far as what's being alleged for these people who are being targeted, you know, by the government with this electronic warfare. Well, many of you are familiar with HAARP. It's that giant antenna system up in Alaska that shoots enormous amounts of electricity into the ionosphere. And, you know, for a long time, people wanted to cry conspiracy theory that it was not for the single purpose of weather warfare. Well, for those people, I would suggest you take a look at U.S. patent number 486605, titled The Method and Apparatus for Altering a Region in the Earth's Atmosphere, Ionosphere, or Magnetosphere Before Altering the Weather. So, no more conspiracy nonsense on that. HAARP is absolutely real. It absolutely is used to conduct weather warfare. In fact, some have even gone as far as to say that may be what caused all the hurricanes during Bush's term. It's neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. But what's important to note is MKUltra, or some variation thereof, eventually morphed into what was called the Phoenix 2 program, which, to my understanding, was very active during the Vietnam War. And there's a video that also covers that, kind of give you a little bit of background on it. Again, trying to figure out, you know, how are these people suffering today from a program that's been long since scrapped? Well, there's multiple iterations since MKUltra showing that it hasn't been scrapped, which is what all this is doing. So eventually, as you go through some of these videos and get to learn about some of the evolutions of the program, you're going to come across what is the smoking gun, I would say. This is, you know, if you follow the links back, you will eventually come to an article, again, that's got footnotes that are longer than most articles you'll read. And it's by a gentleman named Peter Kirby. And I believe it was originally published at Activist Post. And the first article that he published was titled, here we go, you ready? Conspiracy theorists are going to love it. Chemtrails Exposed, the History of the New Manhattan Project. Don't forget those words, the New Manhattan Project, because he goes on to detail what exactly the New Manhattan Project consists of. There's also a documentary for you to see, should you not believe in chemtrails, called Chemtrails, the Secret War, that's included. But the Manhattan Project, what is it? Well, it's got its very elementary aspects, the very beginning stages, which was, you know, the origins of weather modification. Americans, you know, when they first got involved with that. But then ultimately, you know, as science evolved, so did the program. And that's when it weaponized. The remainder of his article, and I don't include the whole thing in my post. If you want, there's links to it. You can go back to it. But I do include some rather important aspects. parts of the Manhattan Project and include mind control, voice-to-skull technology, genetic modification, holograms, and depopulation. Imagine that one. So, as you, let's see, there's as you begin to look through some of the information that comes from the Manhattan Project, you'll see that, you know, the first thing they did was obviously manipulate the weather, hence the patent. Then they began the chemtrails and spraying of the aluminum, the barium, the, what is that, strontium. And nobody's really entirely sure what some of that stuff is for. All we know is that it does interact with, as documented by these doctors, again, footnotes up the wazoo, it does interact with HARP, which also interacts with these Gwen Towers that are absolutely everywhere. And so let's hear what some of the doctors that have done studies on this have to say. On the voice-to-skull technology, this is creepy as all hell. A doctor who's also a PhD, by the way, this voice-to-skull technology, patented by the U.S. government, go figure. He says that voice-to-skull technology has been weaponized into the Navy's Medusa program. And he goes, there's a listing to it for you to read a little bit more about it if you choose to. As it relates to mind control, the waves that are coming, it's my understanding, these elf waves combined with whatever's coming from these Gwen Towers, they are able to produce things that can affect our moods, can affect our thoughts, can affect literally our bodily functions, not to mention, you know, literally torment and torture somebody physically and psychologically. It's interesting to note the companies that are responsible for building these massive towers that are not being used for cell phones. And it's all the telecommunications giants like Lucent, like Google especially. For those that don't know, Google has an entire division building man-hunting Terminator-type robots. And I include a video of one of them. Very, very, very scary stuff. But the overarching theme that's hard to get away from is if they're able to control thought, and there's multiple PhDs in here that will tell you it's absolutely what they're doing, and now they've got these robots, and you'll also, if you dig deep enough, find out that Google is pushing very hard for ingestible RFID chips. So imagine a world where, you know, Google can track your every move. They've got robots that can hunt you even into the densest of forests. You're never going to get too far because whether it's, you know, HARP blasting things into the ionosphere or, you know, these crazy Gwen Towers everywhere, they're able to affect thought. It even says here they would be able to disable an entire town's population if they wanted to, which is just staggering. As far as how we got here, you know, from its origins, one of the papers that's written goes on to talk about how originally what is now being used by these Gwen Towers was designed as a means for Navy submarines to communicate. And it began in the 50s, but by the 60s, thanks to two of the Manhattan Project's top scientists, again, two PhDs, names are here, they were able to use the technology to lay the groundwork for what's now becoming, you know, future mind control experiments. There's actually a gentleman in the late 60s who, on behalf of the Manhattan Project, wrote a paper called How to Wreck the Environment, in which, you know, he talks about how by using things like HARP and firing energy into the ionosphere, it's possible to, his words, possible to create weapon systems through little understood aspects of brain physiology. unbelievable. Humans who have been subjected to this particular treatment say it is decidedly unpleasant. That's not all they say. Subjects show small but measurable degradation in performance when they're exposed to these fields for up to 15 minutes or longer. So, you know, clearly they're experimenting on humans. One of the scientists goes on to say that, you know, the proper geographical location of the source of lighting that's around a particular person when they're being pumped full of all these waves, coupled with making sure that the waves are getting pumped into them at the accurate time, could lead to a pattern that would produce very powerful, very powerful levels of emotion, and one could develop a system that would reasonably impair their brain performance, even the performance of very large populations in selected areas for extended periods of time. Again, this is what these towers are already there for. Lovely stuff. Several other papers cited that, you know, if you want really to dig into some of the meat of this, it's just beyond comprehension that our government is doing this. One scientist goes on to say that some of the potential uses include dealing with terrorist groups if they have to, using it on crowd control, controlling breaches of security at military installations. There's also, of course, what they call, this is my personal favorite, and then I'll try to wrap up and leave you to the latter half of the blog post, which includes the former Navy officers' accounts of those that feel that they've been targeted, as well as his explanations of what he knows about these weapons from his time working on them. But my personal favorite was the brainwave renaissance. And this particular scientist goes on to write, active employment of brainwave renaissance utilizes frequency generators to protect a desired brainwave renaissance into a mind war that is an operational environment. I don't want anybody referring to my brain as an operational environment. First of all, most of the time it's not anyway. But that operational environment can be used to adjust the emotions and awareness of all the individuals contained within that environment. If necessary, brainwave reconnaissance can, for instance, be inserted into the internet or even be passively injected into something as simple as a television or a cellular telephone in which it could radiate its signal. So, I mean, technology is there. You know, it brings back something that was said long ago. One of the authors here quotes, the possibilities here are absolutely horrifying. They're mind-boggling, and they're currently beyond the scope of anywhere further that this investigation is going to go. Regrettably, this area of research promises to greatly be expanded in the years to come. Might I add that the Department of Defense, I did an article some time ago, they want to install EEG brain readers in every child's classroom. Does that sound healthy to you? I was called a conspiracy theorist on that. On what I thought they were going to use them for, that is. They do want to install them. Would you want them installed, knowing all this? Anyway, the author goes on to say, this may be what George Bush Sr. was talking about when he famously said, if the American people knew what we have done, they would string us up from the lampposts. I don't doubt it, sir. I don't doubt it. And I assure you there's far more nefarious things going on deep within the confines of DARPA and the Department of Defense Black Ops. So the remainder of the post will include information chronicling David's trip cross-country, as well as the meetings that he's having with people to bring awareness, as well as the unfortunate stories of some of the victims. So I don't have any advice for you on this one. There's no way to prepare for this, but it is worth knowing, and it's worth bringing this back to the forefront of your mind when, you know, your first instinct is to say conspiracy theory. And when you think back to what we were doing 70 years ago by employing Nazis in the highest levels within our government. For God's sake, the father of rocketry is a former SS agent for the Nazis. And that's Wernher von Braun, NASA. So, none of this stuff is far-fetched. What's far-fetched is believing the news that you see in the mainstream media. With that, Voice of Reason out.